Okay, good morning. We are up to the beginning of Perek Chaf Beis, chapter 22. And you may recall from a few weeks ago, when we last left off, that David was on the run from Shaul, and David first makes his way to Nov, the city of the Kohanim, and he seeks refuge there, or he seeks food, really. And Ahimelech, I think his name was, the Kohen, provides David. Now, he doesn't know why. David says, you know, he's on a mission from the king. He doesn't realize that he's really running away from the king. He provides David with food and with a sword, Goliath's sword, Goliath's sword. And then David continues on his way. And David eventually ends up in Eretz Gass, which is the place of the Plishtim. And there he has to feign madness, that he's gone crazy, in order for them to let him go, which he does. And off he goes again at the end of the last parak. He's on the run once again. So Perek Chafez begins, Vayelech David Misham. And David went from there, Vayimolet al Me'aras Adulam. And he escaped to Me'aras Adulam, which sounds like the cave, a cave called Cave of Adulam. I saw, though, that one of the Mefarshim had some grammatical point that it doesn't mean cave here, it's just the name of the place, Me'aras Adulam, I don't remember why. But he went to this place, Vayishmu Echa V'chol Beis Aviv, and his brothers and all the house of his father, so extended family, I don't know, nephews, extended family, heard that he was there, Vayerdu Elav Shama, and they went down to him there. So it's interesting that they're able to find him so easily, but I'm not sure. I didn't see anything. You know, if his family can find him, why can't Shaul just find him? But right, it seems that it wasn't necessarily not known where he was. It just wasn't necessarily easy to get to him. We're in Perek Chaf Beis. First verse.
Territory.
What?
Jim Plishtim territory.
It could be. I'm not sure if he still is. But it could be. It's possible. I don't actually know where this is. You're right, though. He's going to be going to Moab, and he's going to be still out of the country, sort of, for a little bit at least. But his brothers hear something, and they come. They are able to find him. What did they hear? So Mitzvah David just says they heard that he ran away, and they realize that David is a fugitive, and that Shaul might come after them, either to get to David or just because of their connection to David. And they realize that their lives are perhaps at risk as well, and so better join David. The Kuyakar on Navi, it's not the same Kuyakar as on Chumash, but the Kuyakar says that he has another suggestion. Perhaps up till now they knew that David was on the run, and they knew about everything that was going on, but they didn't really want to join him. They weren't interested up till now. They didn't think it was a good idea necessarily. So, but now that they heard what had occurred with him in Gass, with the king of the Plishtim, etc. So now they all of a sudden were like, wow, this guy's a miracle worker. Maybe he's the real deal. Maybe he really is going to be king. And then they decided to join him. That's what the Kuyakar suggests. He says, at first they weren't interested. They weren't sure exactly about David. But when they heard Hanes Hanifla Sha'asa Hashem Yisbarach Imo, when they heard the wondrous miracle that Hashem did for him, when he saved him from Achish, the king of Gass, so then they recognized that Hashem was indeed with him, and that's what they heard about. They heard about his salvation, and that was the reason why they now came and joined with David. Pasuk Beis, Vayiskabtu Elav Kol Ish Matzok V'Chol Ish Asher Lo Noshe V'Chol Ish Mar Nefesh. And they gathered to him. Other men also gathered to him. What kind of people? Ish Matzok. Matzok is like a language of tsara, of tragedy, suffering. People who were, who had difficult, some kind of difficulty in their lives going on. Things weren't going too well. Some Mefarshim learned that it was, they weren't getting along with people. Others, the Malbim says it was more internal. They were perhaps depressed or, you know, suffering inside. But either way, they were looking for a change. They were looking for, you know, they to run away. And this was a good opportunity to join this runaway war general, David. That they saw as a good option. And then there was there's Kol Ish Asher Lo Noshe. Anyone who had a Noshe. A Noshe is somebody who is chasing after you to get money from you. If the people who owed money, creditors were coming after them, and they wanted to run away. So where do you go? You go to join the militia. You go to join David. And then there was Ish Mar Nefesh. Ish Mar Nefesh. People bigger of soul. They were in the bigger straits. So either some learn that means they were poor, and Malbim learns that they were angry people. So what's kind of consistent actually is that, so you have in the most of the Mefarshim, these people aren't necessarily bad people, they're just under difficult straits. That's how Metudas David, Metudas Tzion seemed to take it. Things were difficult for them, so they joined David. In the Malbim's approach, they all had something wrong with them, basically. They had something wrong inside, they were angry people, they had emotional issues, perhaps. And this was an outlet, this was a good solution to go join David. And then the pasuk says, the second half of the verse says, "Vayhi aleihem lissar," and he became an officer on them, "Vayiu imo," and they were with him, "Ke'arba meos ish," about 400 men. He had an army of about 400 men. The Kuyakar over here learns also that these were not necessarily the finest of character, and he says that by joining with David, David was able to turn them around. How does he say it? Tez vayu aleihem lissar. He became an officer over them, and through that vayu imo v'domimlo, they became like him and similar to him. He says, when it says vayihi aleihem lissar, he was like an officer over them. It's telling you that he didn't pull the king card on them. He didn't act like royalty over them and command them in that fashion. Even though, you know, he knew he was king, he was anointed with Shem and Amishcha, he was anointed with the anointing oil, he was king, but even though he was on the run, but he didn't become arrogant from this, and he didn't use this on them, but rather he acted like a normal officer over them. He was in charge, but he didn't behave in that way. And in that way, it was vayiu imo, they were with him. They were on par with him in a way. That his approach, he quotes a pasuk, I think, in Tehillim. Maybe it's later, and he doesn't say where it is, but actually it might just be later in Shmuel, where David says, "Shimuni ami ve'achai," listen, my nation and my brothers, that he takes this approach. The way Chazal render it, they say that he was sort of giving them, his people, two options. Either you can be like my nation, I can act like a king over you if I need to, but there's another way. You could be like my brothers, and we can be all on the same level if, you know, as long as you are behaving properly. I don't have to rule you with a staff. We can just be brothers. And that was the approach, says the Kliyakar, that he was taking over here also. He was a tsar on them, he was an officer over them, but not a king over them. And Vayu Imo, they were with him on the same level, and that's how he was able to take these really low lives, right? If you understand that they were angry people, they had all these issues, and he was able to take them and make something out of them and make a little army out of them that was successful. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Vayelech David Misham Mitzpeh Moav. And David went from there, and he went to Mitzpeh Moav. Mitzpeh here means like a tower, or a high place, where you can be tzafa, where you can look out. Vayomer el melech Moav, and he said to the king of Moav, Yetze na avi ve'imi itchem ad asher eda mayaseli elokim. Let my father and my mother go out with you until I know what Hashem will do with me. So he's in Moav now, or he's near Moav, and it sounds like he's in Moav. He's by Mitzpeh Moav. He's by this tower in Moav, and he asks the king, please shelter my father and my mother while I figure things out. I guess his parents were elderly. They couldn't. I mean, his mother we understand, but his father also, his father was a great general, Yishai. But maybe at this point he's getting on in age, he's not able to join the militia. So he asks Moab to protect them. He's seemingly pulling the family connection, right? We know David is a descendant of Rus. Rus comes from Moab. Rus was the daughter of the king of Moab. So these are his cousins, not too distant cousins. And he seeks their protection. Pasuk Dalid, Vayan Chem es Pnei Melech Moav, and he comforted, he appeased the king of Moav. Vayeshvu imo kol yemehayos David bamitzuda, and they dwelled with the king of Moav all the days that David was in the mitzuda, in some kind of tower or protected place.
It's translated here as fortress.
Fortress. The whole time he was in this fortress. Now, what about after he left the fortress? So definitely, simple understanding is that after he left this fortress, so then the parents, right, they were with the king of Moab the whole time that David was in the fortress, and when David left the fortress, the parents left the king of Moab. But Rashi quotes a medrash that actually, when David left the fortress, so the king of Moab killed his parents and his brothers, whoever was there, except for one. As we'll see later, one of them, someone named Nachash Ammoni, protected and there will be a later reference to that in Shmuel Beis, chapter 12. But that is the medrash, was that, I guess, I'm not sure what's prompting them, there's an inference here. He protected them all the days that they were, that David was in the fortress, or they dwelled with him all those days. Doesn't say what happened after that. Could be that we never encounter David's parents again, and that's what's prompting the medrash to say that. Not clear to me why the medrash says that, but maybe if I looked it up, I would see more. But that's what Rashi quotes from a Medrash Tanchuma.
Why did Giyaz say for a
Yeah. I saw that quote from the Sefer Bechi. Yeah, he says something which is also unsubstantiated, and it's not clear where he gets it from. I'm not sure how much they bring over there, but he has a whole thing that this was that David shouldn't have. This was a mistake. He shouldn't have trusted him, and you know, it's a possible interpretation of the Medrash, but I'm not sure where that Sefer.
The Medrash that they bring down over here says later on David had Nekama on him, so
as if he had done something wrong to him.
Okay,
that's good. All right. Okay. Actually, I see now Rabbi Yeshaya mentions that later David is gonna take revenge against the king of Moab. And what was he getting revenge for? Right, the Medrash is saying it was for the fact that the king of Moab killed his parents. Okay. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Vayomer God Hanavi El David. And God, the Navi, this is our first encounter with God. God is one of the Navim that will advise David. And he has now appeared on the scene. The other one prominent is, I think, Nasan Hanavi. But so God tells David, Lo Seishe Bamatsuda, you shouldn't remain in this fortress. Leich Uvasa Lecha Eretz Yehuda. Go and come to Eretz Yehuda. Vayelech David, and David went. Vayavo Ya'ar Chares, and he came to the Yar Chares, the forest of Chares. He came to this place. Now, again, this is a nevuah. This is a prophecy. It's telling him it's not good to dwell in the fortress. Not clear why, but that's what he had from a prophecy. And he tells him, go to Yehuda. Yehuda is David's tribe. David is a member of Yehuda. So he's advising him that go to your people. And if you need to build up a backing, so the place to do it is in Yehuda with your own tribe. So he sends him to Yehuda. Okay, at this point, Shaul gets news. Actually, before, one more thing I think I missed. Yeah, so that's what the Radak says, that the advantage of being in Yehuda is that people in Yehuda loved David. He was one of their people. And were it to be that Shaul would come seeking him out, so they, you know, people would tell him, they'd warn him, and he'd have time to run to another place. And even though this particular place where he went wasn't really his hometown, but it was still the best place for him to go. Okay. Pasuk Vav, Vayishma Shaul Kinoda David, Vanashima Sherito. And Shaul heard that Noda David, that David was known, David knew. Rashi says that David was being careful. That's what it means. It means David was being careful to protect himself from Shaul. Shaul heard about this. And he heard about the men, the militia, that David was now building up. Shaul Yoshi Bagiva Tachas HaEshel Barama. Shaul was currently in Giva, seemingly Giva Shaul, the hill of Shaul, under the Eshel, under the tree in Ramah, and he had his spear in his hand, which I guess he liked to carry. And all of his servants were standing by him.
So you might discuss what the tree is as opposed to a fig tree?
Yes. So there's a medrash on this pasuk which Rashi brings. It's a strange pasuk because it says he was Bagiva, and then it says he was under the tree Barama. Was he in Giva or was he in Rama? So the Medrash says that he was in Giva. It's actually Gemara and Tangus. The Gemara says he was in Giva, but he was he was under the protection of the tree of Rama. The tree of Rama being Shmuel HaNavi. That the only reason why Shaul was still around was because Shmuel had davened for Shaul. That's the only thing that kept Shaul going, was Shmuel's protection. And so he was under the tree. The tree here refers to Shmuel of Rama. That was where Shmuel was from. And that was his protection. Okay. Vayomer, Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer Shaul la'avadav hanitzavim olav. And Shaul said to his servants who were standing there, right, I think it's significant, he's holding the spear, the last Pasuk said, right? They know what he does with that spear when he's angry, right? He just throws it at you. So he's standing there, and he says to his servants, Shimuna b'nei yamimitni, listen, O sons of Benjamin, right? Shaul is from Binyamin. Gam l'kuchem yiteng ben Yishai sado suchramim. You think that the son of Yishai, you think this David, he's going to give you all fields and vineyards. L'kuchem yasim, he'll give them all that to you. Sorry, I love him. Sorry, males, he's going to give you. Make, he's going to appoint you to be great officers of thousands and of hundreds. He's poking them. He's saying, why? And well, let's see the next verse. Ki kishartem kuchem olai, because you've all kishartem literally means tied, but you've conspired against me. The engolas asni bichras benim bin Yishai. Nobody revealed to my ear that my son Yonasan had a covenant with Ben Yishai, with David. So he's basically insinuating that perhaps David promised you something, right? Why didn't anybody tell me what's going on between Yonasan and David? Did David promise you fields and vineyards and he promised you high positions if you don't say anything when he becomes king? Is that what's going on here?
Nobody do it, David.
Shaul doesn't know that. He thinks that they're covering it up. He thinks that David promised them, you know, great reward. And he's telling them, you think that David can give you all fields and give you all vineyards and take you all, you know, in the highest positions? It's impossible.
Guilty until proven innocent.
He's accusing them. He's accusing them that nobody, that you all conspired against me and nobody revealed to me what David had, and Yonasan had planned. Ve'ein chole mikem olai v'gola esazni, and none of you was sick over me and revealed to my ear what was going on, meaning none of you felt my pain, none of you cared enough for me to be sick, to feel bad that I don't know what's going on and that David's being allowed to escape. You don't care enough. Ki hekim b'nias avdi olai le'orev kayom azeh, because my son has established David as an orev. An orev is an ambusher. He's allowed him to set up an ambush. Look, right? Shaul has his informants, his informers, and he knows that David has created a militia, 400 men, and now he's in Yehuda and he's under protection and he's building up, and he says, this is all your fault. If only one of you would have told me what was going on, none of this would have happened. And now look, my son Yonasan has allowed David to become a militia, to have an ambush waiting for me. That was his challenge. Vayaan Doeg Ha'adomi. And Doeg, the Adomite, who we said earlier he was Jewish, but he grew up in Edom. He was standing over the servants of Shaul, meaning he was of a high position. He stood over them. By Yomar, and he said, Ra'isi es ben Yishai ba nove, Remember, we met Doeg in the last chapter. In the last chapter, Doeg was in Nov when David came there. In the last chapter, it said, Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Ches, verse 8 of chapter 21. Visham ish me'avdei Shaul bayom ahu, and there on that day was one of the servants of Shaul. Netzar lifnei Hashem, he was stopped before Hashem. He was davening. He was bringing karbanos. Ushmo Doeg Haradomi, and his name was Doeg. His name was Doeg Abir Haroim, and he was the head of the flock of the shepherds. Literally, figuratively, he was the head of the basin. And he's there, and that's all it says. Doesn't say anything else. Just says he was there. So he saw David. He knew David was in Nob. So now, fast forward to our chapter, and Doeg says, "Vayomar," and he says, "Ra'isias ben Ishai ba Nove. I saw ben Ishai come to Nove el Achimelech ben Achituv. I saw him come to Achimelech. And what did David do there? Vayishal lo ba'Hashem. He asked Hashem questions, right? He asked the Urim v'Tumim. He asked the Kohen Gadol's breastplate for answers. V'tzeda nasanglo. And Achimelech gave David food. V'yischerev Goliath haplishti nasanglo. And he gave him Goliath's sword. So
this is like a while later. How come Doeg didn't tell Shaul when he, at the beginning, when he first came back?
It's a very good question. I'm not sure. Could be that he was a tzaddik, and he was a basting, and he wasn't some simpleton, and at that time he hadn't turned yet, and it wasn't until now that he starts to speak Lashon Hara and incriminate the people of Nov. And it's just going to get worse. It's going to get really bad for Doeg. Doeg's going to do some really bad things in this chapter. So, but that's what he reports. Now, what's basically going to happen is Shaul is going to send for Achimelech. He's going to bring him to him. He's going to be like, "Did you really do this?" And Achimelech is going to try to defend himself that he didn't know that David was running away from Shaul. David, right? David said he was on a mission from Shaul. He didn't realize. And Shaul's not going to take that for an answer. And he's going to order his people to kill Achimelech and all the Kohanim. And nobody's going to want to do it except for Doeg. Doeg's going to do it. Now, at this point, all that Doeg says is as follows. Doeg says, "I saw Ben Ishai coming to Novet Achimelech, and he asked Hashem a question." He asked the Urim v'Tumim, and or Doeg, Achimelech asked on David's behalf, and he gave him food, and he gave him the sword. That's seemingly all he says. Now we learn a number of different halachos of Lashon Hara from here. We're going to see this is considered Lashon Hara in the eyes of Chazal. And the Chafetz Chaim in Sefer Chafetz Chaim, so he, and when he's talking about the Isser of Rechilus, tail bearing, we'll call it. So the Chafetz Chaim says, "Ezehu Racha, what's a Racha? What's a tail bearer?" He says, it's somebody who either goes and says, you know, so-and-so said this and this to me, or so-and-so did this to you. Sorry, so-and-so said this about you, or so-and-so did this to you. or I heard that so-and-so did this to you or wants to do something to you. And he says, even if that thing isn't so bad, according to the person who's saying it, and even if you were to ask the person themselves who it said about, he would have said the same thing, either because there's nothing wrong with it, seemingly, or it's true, or the person intended good in what he did, even still, it's called rechilus. So in our case, and one of the proofs that he brings is from our case. In our case, had Shaul gone to Ahimelech and said, and he does, he's going to ask him, did you do this? And Ahimelech says, yeah, I did, right? So, did you protect David? You know, yes. Did you ask the Urim Batumim on his behalf? Yes. Did you give him food? Yes. Did you give him Goliath's sword? Yes. Right? If he had asked Ahimelech all of that, he would have said, yes, yes, yes. You know why? Because not only because it's true, but because he thought he was doing Shaul a favor. David said he was the messenger of the king, right? So of course Ahimelech would say, yes, yes, yes. And that's all Doeg said. All Doeg said was, Ahimelech gave him food, Ahimelech this, Ahimelech that. He didn't say that Ahimelech knew he was a fugitive, or that Ahimelech didn't know, seemingly, right? He didn't say anything about that. But all he said was something that Ahimelech would have said himself. And yet,
he left out stuff.
What?
He left out stuff.
He said that
he was starving.
Okay, good. Okay, that's good. Yeah, that's a good point. We're going to, yeah. But, right. You're right. So, but the Chofetz Chaim, at least, the Chofetz Chaim feels that there's a proof. He's really quoting the Kasef Mishnah, which is the Beis Yosef or Yosef Kaira. And he's saying that you see from here that even if the person, if you were to ask them themselves, they would say the same thing, and they thought it was a good thing. It's still considered rechilus to go and say that. That's one thing that he says we see from this story. A second thing he says, just a little while later, is he says, it doesn't make a difference if, when you say the rechilus, if you do it voluntarily or if you're pressured into saying it. Even if you're pressured into saying it, it's still rechilus. And even if it's your father or your Rebbe and they're trying to convince you to speak Lashon Hara, it doesn't matter, you still can't. And again, he says that we see that from this story where Shaul definitely put the pressure on. Like we said, he's holding the spear, right? But besides for that, he starts accusing them, you know, you're all conspiring against me, da da da. Does nobody know something about David? Like, what's going on here, right? He's threatening them. And even though they were very scared, and still, the Gemara, Chazal, consider Doeg to be a rochel, a speaker of Rechilus, of Lashon Hara. You see that from this story. Now, the Chofetz Chaim throws in, he says, not that this is really a chiddush, this should be obvious. He says, if somebody tries to convince you to eat pork, so you think it's going to be mutter? He's not threatening you physically, he's just yelling at you and you know, so does it become mutter? Obviously not, right? So this is no different. It's obvious, but we have a proof, we do see it. Actually, from this story. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big problem here. Yeah. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim says. Now, to your point, so was the question, going back to the first point, where he says, you see that even if the person themselves would have said the same thing, in this case Ahimelech would have said the same thing, still what Doeg said is considered rechilus. So it's not so simple. It's not so simple that you have a proof from here. Because it could be that Ahimelech would not have said the same thing as Doeg. You're right, he left out details. He also spun it in a certain way. The Malbim says the Malbim here says everything here. He didn't say things in order also, and that made a difference. He says, if Doeg had actually said everything the way that it happened, so nothing, there would have been no suspicion that the Kohanim of Nov, the Achimelech and the Kohanim of Nov had done anything wrong. Doeg heard David saying to Achimelech that he was a messenger of the king and that he was starving and that he didn't even tell the Kohen Gadol what he was asking the Urim V'Tumim. And he just said that the king sent me for something and he told me to keep it a secret what I'm supposed to ask. And David didn't ask for the sword of Goliath. He just asked for any sword, for any weapon. And it would happen to be the only sword around. Right? If David goes and asks for the sword of Goliath, that doesn't look good. You know, that's already like... that's not just any sword. That sword carries a message with it. So if David had asked Achimelech for that, that would be one thing. But he didn't ask for it. And so if he would have told things the way they happened, then there would have been no suspicion of the Kohen. But Doeg did not. Doeg spun things in a way that made Achimelech look really bad. So first of all, he said, David ba, right, the end of Pasuk Tes, he says, ba Noveh al Achimelech ben Achitov. He came to Noveh to Achimelech. He came specifically to Achimelech. He didn't come to Achimelech. He came to Nov looking for food. He ended up with Achimelech, or he came to the Beis Hamik, to the Mishkan. He wasn't necessarily coming specifically to Achimelech. He doesn't even say Achimelech HaKohen. Had he said Achimelech HaKohen, so then it would sound like he was coming for the Mishkan. But no, he made it sound like no, he was coming for Achimelech. Achimelech was a conspirator with him. And they, you know, they were in cahoots. And then he said the next thing, and he said, Vayishalo Ba'Hashem, right? And he asked a question on behalf of Hashem, on his behalf.
Well, that's out of order too.
Right. Well, he's out of order. Right. It's out of order, and it's also implying that he came to Achimelech's house. He told Achimelech his question, and then they went to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Mishkan, to ask the question, as if Achimelech knew all the details of David's question, which he didn't. And like you said, it's out of order. He didn't ask him really till the end. Yeah.
Question. It said in the Sango, could that be the way it's being expressed by Doeg, that David brought the priest?
No.
Something? I mean,
I think it's clear. No, I don't think so.
You know, like bribing him or something?
I don't think so. And basically, right, the point was that by switching the order and making it that he asked the question to Hashem first, which is obviously going to reveal his intentions, that he's not really acting on behalf of Shaul, but he's running away from Shaul, and he's asking a question related to that, should he fight against Shaul, etc., that's the assumption here. So now everything else looks much worse. And even after that, he gave him food, and he gave him the sword of Goliath. He is a conspirator with David, right? That's what he's saying. And so according to this approach, there really was plenty of Lashon Hara in his words, and it wasn't exactly what Achimelech would have said. Had you asked Achimelech, Achimelech would have had a slightly different version and more true version of what had occurred. So according to this, I'm not sure if we have a proof from here, at least, to what the Chofetz Chaim was saying, that even if the person would say the same thing, it would still be, it's still Rechilus. This is not necessarily proof, because here Achimelech would not have said the same thing. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, Vayishlach HaMelech Likroes Achimelech Ben Achitu VaKohen. So the king sent for Achimelech Ben Achituv, the Kohen, Veskol Beis Aviv HaKohanim Asher Benov, and all of them, all of the Kohanim, he wanted them all here, Vayavochu Amel HaMelech, and they all came to the king. So he summons them all. This is not going to end well. Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul said, Shemana Ben Achituv, listen, son of Achituv. You'll notice the whole time he's calling David Ben Yishai, Ben Yishai, Ben Yishai, right? We mentioned previously that that's a condescending way of referring to someone, son of whatever, instead of calling them by their name. And here again, he calls the Kohen Achituv, he doesn't call him by his name, Achimelech, he calls him Ben Achituv. Vayomer, and he said, Hinani Adoni, here I am, my master. Vayomer Elav Shaul, and Shaul said to him, Lama kishartem alai atov Ben Yishai, why have you conspired against me, you and Ben Yishai, you and David, besitcha lo lechem v'cherev, by giving him bread and a sword, v'shaul lo be'elokim, and asking questions for him to God on his behalf, in order for him to be an ambusher against me today. Now he doesn't say it in the same order that it was told to him. Here he puts the bread and the sword first, and then the asking Hashem the question, which is not the order that Doeg told him. But the Malbim says that Shaul believed Doeg. He believed him in terms of how it happened, and he didn't feel the need to say things in order. And rather, he ordered them in order of sins, from least problematic to the worst. First of all, you gave him food. You helped him. Second of all, you gave him a sword. You helped him. And third of all, you asked a question on his behalf, to Hashem. And that's in order of worse and worse. So basically, you're a terrible guy. And look now, he's become an ambusher to me. Pasuk Yedalad 14, Vayan Achimelech Esamelech Vayomar. And Achimelech answered, and he said, Umi v'chol avodecho k'David Neeman, who is trustworthy among your servants like David? V'chasan Amelech, and he's the son-in-law of the king, v'sar mishmatecha, v'nichbad b'veisecha. He's close to your words, and he's honored in your house. Hayom hachilosi lisholo ve'lokim chaliloli. He says, I've asked on his behalf chalila that it should be for a rebellion. It's because he's a person of prominence. He's needed by the people, and the halacha is you can ask the Rambatumim for someone that the tzibur needs him. Al yasem hamelech be'avdo davar b'chol veis avi. Don't, the king shouldn't put any problem on me. It's not like we did anything wrong. Ki lo yada avdecha b'chol zos davar katan o gadol, because your servant did not know any of this matter. Not small, not big. I didn't know anything of what was going on. And don't accuse me of any conspiracy. And Shaul says, Pasuk Tazayin, Vayomer HaMelech, Mos Tamos Achimelech, Achimelech should die, Ata V'chol Beis Avicha, you and all the house of your father. And he sentenced them to death, And that is where we're going to pick up next time.
And it says here that the king has the right to, like, kind of issue that immediately.